Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, it's Sunday, it's Sunday, it's Sunday. Football Sunday, Sunday in October. And this is the point where Jose and I yell at each other. It's showtime. You know, the music never gets old to me for some reason. I don't know why. That's Big Bad Voodoo Daddy with Go Daddy O, and this is Real Sports Talk Radio live right now. Sunday morning, it's 11:01 here in the big city, or outside the big city. I guess, Jose, I guess we're considered outside the big city.
Yes, we are.
I'm listening to Randy Zelia with Jose Padilla, Real Sports Talk Radio. We're back live this week. Back at our normal time. I think we had a couple weeks where we were just shifting back and forth, and we're here. And a lot of things going on in the world of sports. NBA training camp opening up, NFL, Major League Baseball playoffs right around the corner, NHL trying to get their season started. A lot of things. It's like there's too much news. It makes us have too much of a show, and I think it's illegal to have too much show. That's just how I feel at this point in time. But Jose, good morning. Can you
see? What's up, Randy? Really?
That's the word I went. Oh, yes. Take it, my friend. Take it. That's all I have to say. We're, like, on Facebook now. I feel like we're sort of, like, official. It's, like, a shame that I look 30 in that picture we have up on our main picture. But
I'm looking at it right now, actually.
Yeah, I'm on the page. And, you know, it's great that we're here, we're kicking and we're getting ready to go. There's so many ways we can start this, and I think there's only one way we can. And it's a simple fact of you and I are so random when it comes to little things. Like, right before we went on the air, if anyone has ever seen Mandy Moore, it's the most disturbing thing in the world because she's so fake. And I know this is not sports related, and I apologize. And if Mandy Moore, you're listening, which I highly doubt you are, I apologize, but no one could be that goody two shoes. Like, I think we all felt that way about Amanda Bynes, and now she has a record, and, like, she was arrested, and, like, she's going to be spending time in prison. So, like, I'm not saying Mandy Moore's going to spend time in prison, but I'm just saying, like, no one can be that good.
Listen, Amanda Bynes, by the way, is a bad girl, so I'll take that any day of the week.
Now, okay, so, I was going to say define bad girl, but...
If you have a record, you're a bad girl.
Okay. Okay. I'm going to go with you on that, all right? I don't know why I'm going with you on that, but I'm going to go with you on that. Anyways, Jose Padilla, ready to tell you. Backsportspage.com. Check us out on Facebook at Real Sports Talk Radio on Facebook. It's definitely worth the check out right now. Also, we're going to be updating what our picks are. Jose had his first winning week last season. Last season. Yes, you had your one winning week last season. You had your first winning week last week, and you did pretty well. You know, Dallas beat Tampa. For some reason, my heart was with Tampa. I think that was my anti-Cowboy thing in me coming out, which does say very little about my taste choosing in that situation. And I guess I was just anti-Romo because of Sarah, because, you know, Sarah, who's one of our fill-in hosts here, who came on with us, she basically was like, pro Cowboy, and it made me sick to that point, and I apologize for that.
They only won by 7 against a team that the Giants put up almost, you know, I want to say about 5 touchdowns worth of offense and within a half. So,
I understand. Again, the Cowboy Buck game was like the ugliest game of the week last week, and we only got the Jet game like here in the New York metropolitan area. We only got
not me, my friend. I have the red zone.
Okay, so you get to watch every game for 30 seconds at a time.
It's solace for the man with ADD, as my wife would say.
Your wife is a wise woman. I just want to go on record. I just want to go on record and say that your wife is a very, very,
have you ever
very...
Actually, Have you ever actually seen Red Zone, though? Have you ever actually
I have. I think it's great on your phone if you're at, like, a wedding. Brilliant.
It's even
better when
you're at home watching a game on TV.
Or you just watched the Red Zone. Like, that's... whoever thought of that idea was brilliant. Brilliant!
What I do like about it, though, to be fair, like, because we actually, like, obviously, like you said, we had the Jet game on over here in this area. But what I did like about it, you know, like, you put the Jet game on because, you know, it's the Jet game, so you got to watch it. You know, you go on to your last button, so you got back and forth whenever you want to go between Red Zone and the Jet game. And no matter what, they switch to where the action is going on. So if worse comes to worse, if there's nothing else going on, they just put it on the game of your area. So last week would have been the Jet game at that point. But, I mean, it was literally like watching 12 games at once. It was phenomenal. Jen couldn't handle it. I don't know if you could handle it, but
I can definitely handle it. But the thing is, you know, my thing has been very, when it comes to that, you know, with the Red Zone, I thought it was only like a Verizon thing, and I now know that Optimum has now picked it up, correct? Like Optimum and Cablevision has now picked up.
I actually think it's a package deal, but not to say this on air, I don't know if I'm actually paying for this or if it's a free thing now. I know originally you had to pay for it.
Not anymore. They're jumping over to your house and taking that crap away from you.
Oh, damn it. But I don't know if maybe by accident when I was messing with my phone on the NFL mobile app, maybe I ordered it unknowingly, but I've been checking the bill and I don't seem to get any extra charges. So right now I have it. I think you do have to pay for it, though.
You've been checking it hourly.
But I go on every week to see if it's there, and as long as it's there, I'm happy.
Yeah, you know what? You can't fault you. We can't fault you for that. Real quick, you know, we forgot to mention that. Like, yeah, okay, yes, we started the Facebook page. You can call into this show at 760-283-0846. Again, the phone number here is 760-283-0846. You know, it's funny about the whole NFL, you know, network, you know. Now they're starting to do like what the NBA channel did. Start having documentaries, start having original programming. And I just saw something about the Cleveland Brown thing that they're doing. I don't know if you saw the commercial for that Cleveland Brown about the last season.
Yeah, 1995 season, I believe. Like after they got a
Yeah.
I didn't see it, but I mean I saw the promo for it, I should say.
Yeah, it's crazy. You know, it's crazy. Like, and I love when those sports stations start doing like you know that like ESPN does the 30 for 30. I love those. I think those are great.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
Have you
watched any of the 30 for 30s?
The one I particularly enjoy is the one with Alabama and Auburn. They talk about the history of the rivalry with that. Obviously, I've seen the U. That one's actually one of the better ones.
What about the, did you see the Once Brothers, the one about Drazen Petrovic and Vlade Divac?
You know what, I'm going to be honest with you. Just like most of America, when it comes to basketball lately, I just kind of tuned it off.
I figured you'd say that.
I am aware of that one, though. I actually have a buddy of mine who has bought the rights to do a particular 30 for 30 that should be coming out next year, actually. I don't want to... You know, get into more than that because it's nothing, like, definitely official, but it's going to be an interesting thing. It's going to have something to do with FDR and football.
Okay, that's pretty cool. A little tease, what we like to call in the media business, a little tease for the future. So let's talk about, like, there's nothing about Mandy Moore. You know, I can't tolerate Mandy Moore anymore. That's
hater. Just let it go, dude. Just beat her up.
You know, I'm over. He just beat her up. That's messed up.
Then you would have a record.
Thank you.
Be a bad boy.
Okay. Real quick. We went into last week 4-7. I went in 9-2. Tampa, we lost to Dallas. So I went 0-1. You're 1-0. You chose San Diego. I chose Atlanta. And Atlanta won that. Picked Houston. So we're 2-1. You chose the Patriots. I chose the Ravens. So you were 2-2, and I was 3-1. We both chose Cincy, so I was 4-1. I lost our wild card pick of the week, which is renamed, by the way, this week. Indy and Jacksonville. I chose Jacksonville, and I lost that, so I ended up being 4-2, and you ended up being, I believe, 4-2 as well. Is that correct?
4-2 as well, yeah.
Okay.
Actually, so you picked Indy, and you lost that one, or you would have been 5-1.
Yeah. If Indy would have done what they were supposed to do, those jerks.
You know what was amazing about that game? Because I was actually watching that happen live on the Red Zone. Again, just a shameless plug, but what I found amazing about
that
game...
They're not paying us. They're not paying us. Stop.
I know,
them.
But I love it so much. Anyway.
Stop promoting them. Who are you? Who do you think you are?
Hey, anyway, just to get back on point here, watching that game, I could not believe how Blaine Garrett, who did nothing that entire game, absolutely nothing, was able to throw such a sharp slant route to Cecil Shorts, I believe it was. Where was the defense? Indianapolis head coach is from Baltimore. Wouldn't you think that'd be the one thing they would have down pat, if anything else, was how to play, prevent defense at the end of the game? Damn you, Chuck Romano. Damn you, all to hell.
You know, we've always heard about your hate rants, and I think we just finally got one. You know, it's
just
well overdue. It
bothered the hell out of me. I was like, what the hell? You drove down the field. You're showing the world that, hey, you know what? I got something here. We're not going to be that same team that went 2-14 last year. And what the hell happens? Cecil Shorts gets down the field and beats you.
Okay. Now, I just want to go on record and say one thing. First off, they've already matched last year's win total. Okay? Okay.
Oh,
they have already. The Colts are... I thought the Colts were 2-1. No, they're not 2-1. They were 1-2.
They're not 2-1. Don't you counteract my rant.
I just wanted to see your reaction on that. I wanted to see your lightning.
Oh my god!
Anyway, we have a great host of games today. We have our pick six, I guess, if you want to call it. I like that. I just thought I'd just send that off out of nowhere. The pick six.
You are such a creative person.
Shut up. Anyway. Just wanted to say that. I think it's good that I like that we can call it that. We can call that. We have a caller. Let's welcome them into this conversation.
Oh yeah.
Real Sports Talk Radio. You're on the air with Randy and Jose. How are you? Real Sports Talk Radio. You're on with Randy and Jose. How are you? I guess they're not on the air with Randy. Hello, who's this?
I guess we lost another one.
Yeah. Okay. I guess we lost another one bites the dust. We'll put them on. We'll put them in the waiting room for a minute. Put them in the mute room until they decide they want to join us. Okay, so you know it's funny. Like, yeah, you're right. The Colts did not. The Colts are not there. You know, I think it's gonna be a little while until they officially join us into the real world of NFL. Real Sports Talk Radio. You're on the air with Randy and Jose. All right, so. They, you know, they're not there for a little while.
That is,
I think, you know,
a caller apparently.
No, okay. Right now it's our first caller today. Let's not insult him just in case he wants to call back. He might be listening and say, "No, listen, these guys just insulted me. Who the hell are they?" so with all that being said, you know, the Colts are going to get there. It's going to be a little while, but they're going to get there. And
I tell you though, in today's NFL, it doesn't seem to take that long. As you know, like look what Cam Newton did last year. I mean, I think now the expectation will be soon that quarterbacks that you draft, especially quarterbacks, draft them in the first round, you're going to put them in there. You're going to expect, you know, a moderate amount of success right off the bat. Now with everything going on, look at Matt Ryan. You know, look at what Sam Bradford did his first year. So.
Yeah, but I also want you to think about it. Not every team is going to have that type of turnaround where they have the worst season in football and turn it around to be a Super Bowl contender.
Oh, no, not at all.
That takes time. You know, like, it took Peyton Manning how many years? You know, he was drafted in, what, 90?
I don't remember offhand. I just remember his first year. I believe they were 3-13 his first year, and I think they actually went to 10-6 the second year. Could be wrong on that.
It was something of that sorts, and then it took him a couple years to really become, like, you know, Peyton Manning. And then, of course, we had Jim Morris. You know, playoffs? We're talking about playoffs?
But my point wasn't that, you know, just was that a guy who's a defensive coach you know, your young quarterback just took you down the field, got you into the position to win the game. You're a defensive coach, and that happens on your watch. I mean, that's just completely unacceptable as far as I'm concerned. I don't want to make a big deal about it because I understand it is the Colts at this point, and they are rebuilding. But that would have been a great chance to really, you know, build up some momentum. You know, a win there could have really started something. Now you're just 1-2, and, you know, that the same holds true in the opposite. Like, you know, a loss like that could put you in a real tough spot.
Well, I don't think anyone's expecting the Colts to make the playoffs this year. I think that's I think you're digging for straws if you.
I'm not expecting playoffs, but you know you don't know what can happen if something, you know, winning a game like that could do something for the psyche of a team. Listen, that team went to hell last year, and I think a win like that coming back after being down that could have you know started something. I'm not saying a division title, but you know, maybe instead of maybe going 4-12, 5-11, maybe you're looking at a 7-9, you know, 8-8 record, which would still be, like, phenomenal considering where that team went. But, again, you have to win those kind of games. When you lose those kind of games, especially to the team they lost to, that, you know, that hurts. You know, there's no other way to put it. But, again, you're right, we shouldn't dwell on what the Colts did last week. I just thought it just really bothered the hell out of me.
Well, I will tell you that I do like Andrew Luck. I think I like him a lot more than I like RG3. I think RG3 was going to have more immediate success, but I think Andrew Luck is going to turn into like one of those prodigy quarterbacks. I think he's got the mobility to do a little bit of everything. I think RG3, the problem with quarterbacks like RG3, Michael Vick, Cam Newton, is you really can't set real solid plays for them because... And the receivers are the ones who suffer the most because they really don't know when they're going to get the ball. Like the difference between quarterbacks and like ones like Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, Eli Manning, Romo, Aaron Rodgers is they have an option A, B, C, or D, whereas the other ones are sitting there. Okay, because we know our line is not that strong. If option A is not there, just start running. Make it happen. Let's just start running.
I think the way Shanahan has got that offense going right now, though, they're not necessarily putting it all on RG3 just yet. But he's a dynamic player. There's no taking that away from him. But I agree with you. I think Andrew Luck will be the better player because he's, as you would say, he seems to be one of those prodigy players.
Yeah, it's such a tough call. You know what I mean? Like you hate to say it, but I don't know. I don't think the RG3 pick was a smart pick by them.
I wouldn't go that far.
Well, for marketing and notoriety and make of relevancy, I think it was a great pick for them. But as far as football, I don't know how good of a long-term pick it was for them. I think when you do those types of picks, you're setting yourself up to have a good 4, 5, 6 year window before either injuries or deciding you want to go a different route.
Well, I'll say this, and I'm by no means am I a scout, but I definitely watch way more college football than you do. In fact, I don't even know if you can tell me what college Robert Griffin played for last year.
The one at the university.
Yeah. Anyway, believe me, RG3 was about as safe a pick as you can get. In fact, you could have made an argument. I don't know if people would have definitely accepted it, but you could have made an argument that he could have been the number one pick. He is Cam Newton with far better accuracy and far stronger throwing arm. The thing about guys like that, like, you know, we talk about the Michael Vicks and the Cam Newtons, guys like that, and Tim Tebow to an extent, is that these are all guys that are great athletes that happen to be playing the quarterback position. Robert Griffin is a quarterback who happens to be a great athlete. So
agreed.
There's no I think you're overselling that that you don't think that was a good pick for Washington. They needed a quarterback. It's just they weren't going to get the one. You might as well have gotten the 1A.
Gotcha. I agree. So, by the way, on our Facebook page, we're putting up the pick records right now.
I just did.
Oh, me too. I'm putting it up right now. It's funny.
Okay.
Funny
this
too.
Is what
like,
I put down. I'm like, Randy is 13-4, while your hero is 8-9 on picks. Can Angry Jose turn it around?
We're wondering if we're going to turn around. And this week's games are very interesting. You know, and we didn't talk about this week's as far as which way we're going to go. So it will be a surprise to both of us. So, you know, we're going to do the picks. We'll do the picks at probably around 12:15. David Magano joining us at 11:30. You can join us right now at 760-283-0846. And the phone number here is 760-283-0846. Real Sports Talk Radio. Visit us on our brand new Facebook page where I look like about 20 pounds overweight. And Jose's laughing at me because I'm 20 pounds overweight in that picture. And that's just, you know, the way it is. Real quick, before, you know, we're going to talk a lot more football with Dave Magano. Wanted to touch on two other headlines with you. The Orioles win again last night. It's the Yankees' fault. They're against Toronto, and they now have a dead tie. They now have a dead tie in the top of the AL East. It seems to be really the only realistic race that's left in Major League Baseball. What do you think? Are the Yankees playing a one-game wild card game, or are they going to hold on to the East, or are they going to miss altogether?
I don't know if they can miss it at this point. I mean, I think they would have to have a slump of epic proportions at this point to miss it. I do think, though, that one game wild card is definitely something that they could be seen. I don't think as a Yankee fan like yourself, you want to get into that position, but I don't know. It's not looking good right now. They just seem to be out of it. When they get great pitching, they don't get timely hitting. When they get good offense, the pitching is not there. So I just don't know. Baltimore just seems to be hitting on all cylinders right now. I still think, though, when push comes to shove, this Yankee team will find a way, only because it just always seems to. But I wouldn't be completely surprised that we see them quickly ousted from the playoffs once everything is seeded and sorted. So it's not looking good right now, though. I got to say, it's not looking good. Not everything is hunky-dory over there at Yankee Land.
Well, in other news, Rasheed Wallace is leaving retirement to join the New York Knicks. That's more of a local story here in the New York metropolitan area. It has been getting a lot of play because of all the baseball and all the football. But this sort of goes about what we've been talking about with you and I about the NBA. This is not a good signing by the Knicks. I don't like this at all. And you know me, I know my NBA better than pretty much anyone else out there. I don't like this pickup. I don't like what the Knicks are doing right now.
Yes, but that's why we always have to keep you in check, because your Knick hate overflows your NBA knowledge.
Listen, I don't have a team anymore. In my years of covering the NBA, I've learned to start to take my fan hat. Like, if you look at team, like, you know, we were, 2 weeks ago we had Peter Vesey on with us, and we discussed some of the makeups of some of the teams in the Eastern Conference. And he felt the way I felt about the New York Knicks. And this is a guy who's covered the NBA for years. And you know Peter has. And he feels the same way as I do. This team is a built-now team, especially if they bring McGrady in, which I understand work out. The Knicks are in a tough situation because they're an older team, a very older team, very veteran team, which can break down very easily during the regular season. I understand that you in the playoff time you want to have a lot more bigs, you want to have a lot more experience. But the team wasn't meshing last year with Anthony and Stoudemire. Stoudemire needs to have a point guard that's going to get him the ball and he'd be able to operate. Melo needs the ball in his hand to be effective. And Jason Kidd and Raymond Felton, not for nothing, like, you know how much I love Jason Kidd. Jason Kidd is one of my favorite players. Stand on the road while he's driving his car.
Listen, before you go, let me just say this right now. Look, I'll say I am not a big fan of this signing unit, believe me. I'm not a big fan of this signing at all. That being said, though, I don't think the Knicks are going to have as bad a year as you're making it out to be, because the way you sound, you're thinking, you're probably thinking 15 and 67.
Let me just say this.
Let's see how the first half of the season goes before we really start, because I think it's going to be safe to say we have no idea what's going on with any of these teams at this point. We should at least let them play some games first before we start, you know, making any sort of, you know, confirmations that, this team is not going to mesh well, this team is going to mesh well. Let's actually see it first.
Right. Here's what I'm saying, though. I'm saying, you're right, we have to watch a couple games. Like, I've been talking the whole offseason about how I thought the Celtics had the best off in the NBA because they've made their team from 1 to 15 guys who can step in. Like, you know, Doc Rivers will have that option of, you know, having solid backups in every position.
Yeah, but having a nice. So all these guys the Knicks are bringing in, they're not starters. These are guys that are going to maybe play 10, 15 minutes a game. That's why I feel like you're kind of overblowing this notion.
I know, but,
again, I don't like the pick either, but.
But what I'm saying is the Celtics have set it up where if, you know, they have a nice mix between youth and young players. So if something were to happen to one of their veterans and they have to go down for a significant amount of time, much is going to happen because their system is built around fault, which I think is a great thing.
Let me ask you a question. If Rondo goes down, who's replacing Rondo?
Here's what I'm saying. I'm saying that they have enough guys within that system to make it work. If Rondo has to miss 10 games or 20 games, they're not going to miss that much of a step because they're going to have guys who are already placed in the system. Here's what I'm saying. The Knicks system proved, you know, yeah, they made the playoffs last year, okay? And they had times where they were very hot and they were very cold. But in the overall picture of it, the scheme didn't work with their top two guys. So they have to go back to the drawing board. I could be totally wrong. They could be at the drawing board right now and coming out with something that's going to make it work. You know, Anthony might not be a 26, 25-point-per-game scorer next season. He might go down to 20 and all of a sudden averages three more assists and Stoudemire's numbers are back to where they've been. I don't think they're going to be because Stoudemire's on the other side of 30 now. But with that being said, I think that the pieces that you put around your key players is usually the part that really gets you over to winning a championship.
Okay, but again, just answer the question. Rondo goes down for a significant amount of time. Who on that Celtic team is replacing him?
For Rondo?
Yeah.
They look at their roster. I don't think they're bringing Dueling back. I know they bought
in. Dueling is not coming back. He's got some problems, but.
Yeah. Again, I will look at their roster. And by the way, while we're talking about the Celtics, by the way, I have to bring up the one fact of, I don't know if you heard the headlines that Ray Allen and Kevin Garnett have come up with now. Very, very interesting comment.
I have not heard of it. I knew there was an issue between Rondo and Allen, but I didn't know there was something with KG either.
Okay. I'll read you the Here's the full quote. On Friday, Garnett said he longer is speaking to longtime Boston Celtic teammate Allen after he signed with the rival Miami Heat. Speaking Saturday after his first official practice with the Heat, Allen said he was disappointed at Garnett's statement. That's a shame. Talked to on the phone. I've been in weird trade situations the last few years. And one foot out, so I can't worry about it. Garnett basically said, I'm losing his phone number. He's no longer a friend. I don't even look at him as a compadre or whatever, you know. But the simple fact of the matter is, it's your team has the that friendship that was a bond because they won a championship together. Garnett and Paul Pierce take it a little bit. What's the phrasing I'm using right here?
I'm trying to figure out if Kevin Garnett, did he lose everyone's number for Minnesota then when he left, when he got traded? Is that how that happens then?
Well, listen, if you were in Minnesota, would you want to keep in contact with anybody there? It's freaking cold there.
Well, yeah, I mean, but listen, this is part of the thing, reason why a lot of people can't stand Kevin Garnett. Again, I'm not privy to the situation between Rondo and Allen. I'm sure we could get into that later. But Kevin Garnett, I think, just needs to talk to anything that's there just so he can pump himself up. And, I mean, this guy is just, again, this is why he's one of the most, I would say, not respected people in as long, among his peers, I should say. If you're not, because he's one of those guys, kind of like Dennis Rodman. If you don't play with him, you hate him. When you play with him, you love him. The minute he leaves your team, you know you can't stand him.
Okay, well, right now let's bring in David Magano. David's here for his usual spot here at 11:30. David, good morning. How are you, buddy?
Morning, guys. How you doing today?
Very good.
Not bad.
Yeah, I like how we sort of have you now on this like little morning spot. Like you're our bit with the NFL at 11:30 in the morning. So this is gonna be officially your spot. I don't have to text you anymore to ask you to come in until told otherwise. You're to call in at 11:30 all the time now from here on out.
Well, that completely depends on if I get a better gig and I'm going to lose your phone number.
Not for nothing.
Not for nothing.
I hear that from women all the time. Just for the record, with that being
apparently not Mandy Moore, though.
No, David, Mandy Moore annoys me. I don't know why, but she annoys me. She for some reason, no one can be that goody two shoes. Do you agree or disagree?
I think that she has been so out of the world for the last 10 years that I'm surprised you even care about her.
Again, she was just on a movie. I was watching a movie and she was on there. I was like, no one's that good. You know, she was okay on Entourage. You know, she played the raving bitch on Entourage, which was pretty cool. But otherwise, you know, I have no use for her. I really don't. Anyway, back to the NFL. Let's join reality here, please. Off topic. Thank you, Jose. So basically, David, it seems like everything that we were expecting last week sort of turned upside down and all around, and it was almost like what Bill Murray said in Ghostbusters, dogs and cats were living together, it was mass hysteria. What are we looking for this week in the NFL? What are some of the things we should keep our eye on, and what are the top stories in the storylines going on in the NFL right now?
Well, I think the top storyline going on right now is obviously the referees are a big deal. That situation's been rectified finally. So now it's going more towards, on the field it's going to be what's going on with these elite teams, as we call them. You look at the Saints, they're 0-3. You look at the Packers, they're 1-2, although they should be 2-1. And you look at the Patriots, and they're 1-2. And it's kind of like, as you said, it's a mass hysteria where everyone is slipping out right now because you have the Arizona Cardinals at 3-0. You have the Seahawks who are playing well, who just, stole that win from the Packers. You even have teams like, what's it called? And now I'm blanking out. Oh, I'm sorry. The Houston Texans who are 3-0. And people are talking about, are they going to get a shot at perfection with their offensive defense? So, it's going to be a big week now as week four. This is usually the week where people get an idea of who you have, how players are doing, what your team looks like. And it's going to be a big deal to see how these elite teams respond from their rough starts.
You talked about the Houston Texans. Should this be considered a surprise on how this team is playing, especially since they lost some key players on their defense during the offseason, guys like Mario Williams? Should this be like a surprise that the Texans are the number one team in the quote-unquote rankings, power rankings every week?
I don't think it should be a surprise at all because you looked at their team last year, and they made the playoffs. They had one of the top-ranked defenses last year with Mario Williams hurt for the year pretty much. They made the playoffs. They had a Schaub hurt for pretty much the entire year. Then they lose their backup quarterback. So they make the playoffs with T.J. Yates. Andre Johnson only plays five games. So they were a strong team, a playoff team, with their biggest players out. So now they come back, and Andre Johnson's healthy. You'll see if he can do that the entire season. Matt Schaub is healthy. Arian Foster is playing like Arian Foster. And that defense doesn't seem to have lost a beat because they were a top-ranked defense or a top elite defense last year with Mario Williams hurt. So I think a lot of people were concerned about that defense going down with Williams gone because of the name of Mario Williams. But if you look at last year, they really weren't missing him anyway.
Hey, Dave, let's shift gears a little bit. Let's talk about this New Orleans Green Bay game. Obviously, these two teams that are on opposite sides of probably what they thought they would be. Green Bay should be 2-1, as we all know, but they're 1-2. But New Orleans is 0-3. Why is New Orleans really struggling, though, in your opinion, right now?
Well, I think it's a lot of factors. The first one is obviously that defense. That defense is terrible. They're 32nd against the rush. I'm pretty sure they're 32nd overall. I mean, you look at last week, Jamaal Charles basically carves them up for, 208-plus total yards. Matt Castle was like a top-end QB against them. They have no defensive presence right now. And even on the offensive side of the ball, they look lost. They're still putting up a ton of points, if you saw the Chiefs game. Actually, no, I'm sorry. They're not even putting up a ton of points. I'm thinking of the Patriots. They look lost. Their running back situation is terrible. Mark Ingram is just a terrible, terrible player. Darren Sproles is not a running back. And Pierre Thomas, even though he's serviceable, he's not going to be the elite end guy that you can rely on. But where you thought that the Saints could overcome that is the receiving core with Lance Moore and Marquise Colston and Jimmy Graham. And they haven't been able to. Marquise Colston has not been able to be that player that he once was. He's being shut down on man-on-man coverage. They can't get him the ball. And if he's not going to beat one-on-one coverage, they're going to have problems. That's why I think that this 0-3 start, the Patriots are 1-2. I don't think that's a real start. They're going to turn it around. Packers are 1-2. They're going to turn it around. I think you're going to see the Saints struggle a lot this year. I think this suspension and these scenarios that Goodell has put them in is really going to affect them because their offensive side of the ball is in shambles. Their defense is just terrible. It's going to be the worst in the league. They could end the season, I would say, with maybe 4 or 5 wins.
Wow. Let's take that a little further then. Is this all mainly because all the coaches' suspensions and whatnot, or is there a deeper issue then? Or is it just as simple as Sean Payton not being there, so things are not being run as tightly as they should be?
You know what? I don't think anybody has the answer to that question because, you can't take away what a coach brings to a team, but obviously the coaches are not playing on the field. If Marquise Colston was playing like Marquise Colston, then you know what? Maybe it's a different story. Teams are zeroing in on Jimmy Graham right now because there's no other legitimate receiving threat. So even though Jimmy Graham is still a huge red zone presence, he's not getting the same receiving yards or the same targets that he was because he's being double and sometimes even triple teams. Marquise Colston is going to have to start beating one-on-one coverage. If he's not, then that offense is never going to start clicking because Lance Moore is not the answer. Even though Robert Meacham is a terrible player, he's not there anymore. He was a threat. Devery Henderson's not an answer. So they're really going to be in trouble. They really only have, on the offensive side of the ball now, Colston and Graham, since the running back situation is pretty bad. And I could see, if you're a Darren Sproles owner for fantasy, I would get ready because I could see a lot of short swing passes to him because they can't get the ball to Graham and Colston's just not beating coverage.
David, let's switch gears over to the Sunday night game to the Giants and Eagles. The Giants, do you think the Eagles are all hype? Because like their two wins have been ugly so far. They've been very, very ugly at turning the ball over. Are they just due for a good game, or is this what they are? The Giants are going to be coming in, and this is going to be their statement game. What is this tonight?
This is what the Eagles are. The Eagles are, they go as Mike Vick goes. It's as simple as that. Michael Vick has been playing terrible of late. I don't want to hear that the comeback 2 weeks ago. He's been terrible. He's been turning the ball over way too much. He's never been an elite passer, and he's not running as much. He's still obviously a faster quarterback, but he's lost a step from that elite speed that he had. If Nick comes out this week and he throws, one interception and he can get the ball to Macklin or Deshaun Jackson, then the Eagles are a legit team because that defense is a top-notch defense. At the end of the season last year, they kind of picked it up and they've brought it into this season. It's really about the offensive side of the ball that's their struggles. It's hard on that defense to keep getting put into no point and bad field position scenarios because Michael Vick cannot hold on to the ball. Now the other issue is going to be, and you've kind of hear grumblings coming out of Philly, with Michael Vick playing so bad, why is LeSean McCoy not getting as many touches? I think he only had about 16 touches last week. And as an elite running back, which LeSean McCoy is, he's a guy who can run, he's a guy who can catch passes. I'm not really sure why Andy Reid and that coaching staff is not feeding him the ball more. Now, maybe it's because they want to keep him in for protection to help Vic. You know, I don't know. I'm not in on their coaching meetings. But that's going to be a concern for them, is getting McCoy the ball, keeping the ball out of Vic's hands until Vic turns it around. But as we've seen many times before, Vic can be the kind of guy that turns it on real fast. And if he comes out, he can easily put up, you know, 350 yards passing and 3 touchdowns.
All right, David, real quick, coming up right now. Basically, you know, I got to ask you these questions real quick. Our pick six, we do have, you know, every single week, David, we pick 5 games. Jose and I go head-to-head, and then we pick each one bonus game. We have the pick six up on our board now. Giants, Eagles, Cowboys, Bears, Saints, Packers, Panthers, Falcons, 49ers, Jets, and Patriots, Bills. Real quick, because we do have another caller on the line here. Give us your picks of those 6 games of our pick six, and let's see how we do.
Read them off to me as 1-1-1 as we go.
I'm sorry? You have Giants, Eagles,
Giants, Eagles. At home, Eagles.
Okay. Cowboys, Bears.
Cowboys.
All right. Saints, Packers.
Packers.
Panthers, Falcons.
Falcons.
49ers, Jets.
49ers. Easy.
Okay. Patriots, Bills.
Patriots. I think Brady's going to come back real
awesome.
Real good today.
Okay, excellent. Well, Mr. Magano, thank you very much for your weekly spot. I appreciate it. We're going to have to rename your segment here to make you more official. And, you know, hopefully between now and next week, you don't get like start doing somebody else's show. But your knowledge is irreplaceable. You're much smarter than Jose. And then we can move forward.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Thank you,
take
buddy.
Care, dude.
Bye.
You know, I didn't mean to insult you either. It was natural, and I apologize.
Yeah, no. Yeah. I'm going to punch you for later.
Yeah, well, speaking, you know, we talk about fantasy football, we talk about picks, so I'm going to bring in a good friend of ours, our very good friend today. He is the one and only, and so, Jose, you are familiar with when I talk about the guru of fantasy football. He is the only man in fantasy football history where last year his fantasy football team tried to fire the GM. To welcome in our one and only Gary Casper. Thank you, Gary, for joining the show today.
Gentlemen, how are you today?
Not bad, Gary. How's everything?
Good, man. I know we're probably going to be talking about football, but I have to slip in a little Knicks for you, Jose, the 30-some-odd club this year.
Oh, God. It is crazy. I'm telling Randy, this Rasheed Wallace signing is just mind-boggling, but I'm still keeping faith because I still think that Carmelo Anthony and Amari Stoudemire are going to get this thing figured out.
Well, I hope so. I'm a Knicks fan, so I hope they get it done. I know that's another show and another time, so I know we'll get to football Sunday.
Yeah, we'll meet up Randy later on that.
That's next week, gentlemen. We'll start having the NBA preview next week. I know Tim Hardaway and Kenny Anderson are waiting to come on with us and start yelling at Jose and yelling at me. Because I've told both of them about Jose. I told them that, you know, his orange and blue sometimes cloud the major issues. But
it doesn't cloud. I just like to punch people in the face, and those two might be on the top of my list.
I just want to go on record. I just want to go on record, and I have to ask, why so angry?
I've been hearing your biased net talk for years now, man. Let it go. They suck.
But you know what? Gary's a witness. The last few years, I have not been Nets heavy, have I?
No, he really has not. I think he's focusing more on the NBA itself. And that's, you know, Randy's a big NBA guy, as we all know.
Well, to be fair, that's because the Nets have not been good.
You know what?
Let's move on.
I have one number for you, Jose. 13-4. Okay, Gary.
So we have,
as you heard with David, we started doing these pick six. We picked five. We usually pick 5 games to go head to head, and we do a bonus game. This week, I just picked 6 random games. I didn't know what Jose's bonus game was going to be. But so far, here's our record so far.
Okay.
We've started doing this. Jose's record is 8-9.
8-9. Okay.
And he had a abysmal start. He was going into last week. He was 4-7. My record, 13-4.
Ooh, that's pretty good. Now, are we picking these games straight up, or is there a spread involved?
No,
there's no spread. That's the thing. There's no spread involved. So it's just straight up winners, which is like basically you pick apples or you pick oranges.
Right.
There's no science to it. But to also be fair, as I always say all the time, the more you know, the worse you always pick. So basically, since Randy knows nothing about football, this is why he's 13-4.
Well, anyway, with that being said, we have to tell Gary about the bet. The bet is we haven't decided the full official bet. But it was sort of that whole attitude. And by the way, you can join in this conversation 760-283-0846 if you want. You know, if we can, well, maybe we'll put it on our Facebook page what those bets should be and let the people vote. People know that I'm a diehard, you know, not diehard Nets fan, but I'm a big Nets fan. Even with this whole Brooklyn thing, I still am going to follow the team. I'm just not going to be at a lot of games. With that being said, though, the things we were talking about doing is me showing up to a Nets game wearing all Knicks gear, holding up a sign saying, I lost a bet to Jose. That was... then we were doing the opposite.
That would be pretty good.
do you think the opposite? And we'll take a picture of it and put it on the Facebook page and put it on the website. If Jose loses, he would have to show up to a Knicks game wearing all neck gear, holding a sign saying, I lost this bet to Randy and I'm wearing all Brooklyn neck gear. And I'm talking about I would get him the shorts, I would get him a jersey, I'd get him the hat, I'll get him the wristbands, I'll put him for the elbow.
We would make it even better if it was a New Jersey Nets old school
game. Yeah, I think you're right. We can do Nets. We can do old school Nets too. We have all that. But Jose's also
really great. Let's put Jason Kidd's number in the back there too while we're at it.
Because that means you're still showing support to Jason Kidd. Nice try. The other idea is Jose is also a giant Met fan, like you, Gary. He's a Met, and the Yankees repulse him. So, and he goes to a local bar every. So, the Yankees repulse him. So the other idea would have him wear a Yankee jersey. One of his, he's hanging out with all of his friends at the bar. He sits in his signature seat wearing a Derek Jeter jersey.
Ooh.
That would burn. I would probably burn.
And that's the one I'm sort of leaning towards right now. I think that's a good one. So that's where we're at. So that's where the bet is. So, you know, and by the way, Jose, Gary is also, like I said, we joked around as he was coming on the show about his situation with his fantasy football team last year looking to fire him. Gary is also this year, I believe are you 3-0? Did you win last week?
I did not. I lost a tough game last week. Unfortunately, I was 12 yards short from Marshawn Lynch of winning, so I lost a tough match.
Okay, so I'm glad you didn't say you were one catch in the end zone during the Green Bay game away to winning the
True.
Then we really have problems.
That's when Gary starts protesting fantasy football games, which like never happens ever. But that'd be classic if you did. So we're doing these pick sixes, and I'll ask you for your fantasy sleepers in a few minutes.
Okay.
But if those six games, you heard the six games we talked about, if you had to pick five of them and their winners, which ones would they be? Are they Giants, Eagles, Cowboys, Bears, Saints, Packers, Panthers, Falcons, 49ers, Jets, and Patriots, Bills? I looked at the schedule, and there wasn't many of those with real, you know, everything seemed a little one-sided, like the Seattle-St. Louis games, San Diego-Kansas City, Minnesota-Detroit. Maybe Minnesota-Detroit might be compelling, but I think Detroit might be not as good as we thought they were. They looked very sloppy over the last couple of weeks, and Stafford's a little banged up. So, out of those six, Gary, which five do you like, and what do you think of those games?
Well, starting off, the Giant-Eagle game is going to be really good. I know the Eagles have been, you know, pretty sloppy, but, you know, they found a way to win the first two games. The last week, you know, they played Arizona, and they got it handed to them. But, you know, it's Giants-Eagles. It's a division game. The Eagles are at home. I expect this game to be really tight and close. It's going to be very exciting to watch, and it's Sunday night football. So it's going to be interesting. I think one thing that's probably hurting the Eagles is losing their left tackle, Jason Peters. That definitely does not help with the passing game either. But that is going to be a great game to watch. And as a Giant fan, obviously I'm looking forward to it in that game. Atlanta and Carolina is an interesting game too. Carolina's been struggling. It's a division game. I'm big on division games. I always think those games are always going to be pretty close. Look at the Ravens-Browns game. Everyone probably thought the Ravens were going to stick it to the Browns, and it's close. So anytime it's a division game, and just like Bills Patriots today, another division game, I think that one's going to be a close one too. So there's a lot of good games this week and very competitive. And, you know, love the division games, and that's what you have this week. The Niner-Jets game is going to be interesting. The Niners coming off a very tough loss to the Minnesota Vikings. That was, you know, surprising because the Niners are pretty much, a lot of people are picking them to go to the Super Bowl. Then you have the Jets. Obviously losing Revis is a huge blow to that team, but everyone touts Rex Ryan as a great defensive mind. So let's see what he comes up with. Today is going to be a big challenge for him with the Niners losing. You got to stop Frank Gore. You got to stop Vernon Davis, Randy Moss, Mario Manningham, Michael Crabtree. So this is going to be a good week this week. I'm looking forward to it.
Are we? You know, one thing we didn't really talk about was on Thursday night when the real refs came back. And I'm not insulting the replacement officials by saying this, but when the real refs came back out, they were getting a standing ovation, and you know the crowd in Baltimore was very excited to see them. Are we going to see a major difference in the officiating this week, or is this going to be something 2 weeks from now we're not even talking about anymore?
I think we'll always be talking about it, just because, especially, you got to follow what happens with Green Bay and Seattle going forward. Green Bay plays New Orleans today, and both those teams need those wins bad. New Orleans is 0-3, and Green Bay is 1-2. Green Bay's division, they could probably still get by. You got the Bears, the Vikings, Detroit. They're all kind of, you know, struggling. So I think the Saints need that game a heck of a lot more than Green Bay. But, I mean, that's going to be interesting just following them. Seattle, that West now is interesting. The Cardinals are 3-0. The Niners are 2-1. The Rams don't look bad. So that division was, a walkover division. Now it's starting to be competitive. So from the ref standpoint, with that first point I have, definitely you got to keep track of Green Bay and Seattle the rest of the way. Obviously, having the refs back is just tremendous. The first week, you didn't really see too much, but week two and week three, there was just some horrible calls that were being made. And, you know, the NFL, there's so much parity in the NFL, and it's so competitive that you don't want, you know, the refs getting in the way, blowing, you know, obvious calls, just in general. So that's something that I'm very happy that they're back. It was so funny to see the refs, like you said, Randy, get the ovation. You know, when do they ever get that? But, you know, as a fan, and I've been watching football for a while, and so have the both of you, you always get on refs, but now I think the fans should have a little more respect for them. It's not easy to ref a game, just like, you know, being an umpire, being a ref in basketball, being, you know, in hockey, et cetera. So it's not that easy. Do they blow calls? Yes. Are they human? Yes. But I think it's just outstanding that they're back, because now the game's going to move quicker, more efficiently. There's going to be better pace to the game. And just the safety of the players, too. I think that's good as well, to have the refs back. So first Sunday they're back. I think it'll be great. I'd love to see some of the NFL players give them a hug. I think that'd be funny. I am sure that they'll be talking to them and saying, thank goodness they're back.
I think that'd be funny, because it'd be the first time an NFL player gets fined for giving a referee a hug. That'd be awesome.
Well, yeah, right? Ray Lewis actually did that the other day. He hugged the head referee of the game on Thursday, so.
Oh, he did.
Gary, there's one more game I definitely have to ask you about, and it's probably one of the games that nobody's talked about at all this week. It's the Dallas Cowboys versus the Chicago Bears. Jake Cutler, you know, we want to talk about a high expectation level coming into the season. lived up to it. Between Jay Cutler, the offensive line, Mac Forte, and bringing in Brandon Marshall, that defense has always been solid. What's going on in Chicago right now that this team is struggling? And, of course, when we talk about expectation levels, the Dallas Cowboys seem to be Super Bowl contenders even when they field the worst team we've seen in years. I'm not saying that that's a serious team. I'm just making a point of saying that the expectation level on the Cowboys. But this game seems to be, this is a Sunday night. This is a Monday night game. Everyone's going to be watching. What do you see out of this game?
Well, I think it's a very interesting game. You have two teams that struggle a little bit. I mean, the Cowboys played in week one. They played a complete game against the Giants. They deserve to win that game. They played really well, but, losing to Seattle, that was a shocker, even for me, that they really they blew that game. Dallas is just, I don't know, they're always a weird team. Obviously, following the NFC East closely, they're just so inconsistent, and you're always just waiting for them to take the next step. But, they still have the talent. They got Tony Romo. I think what's similar with Dallas and Chicago is, their offensive line's a little bit. Sometimes they're a little shaky. But Dallas, they have Miles Austin and Bryan and Jason Witten. Maybe he's still a little unhealthy. Maybe if he gets back to, normal. They got DeMarco Murray, who's up and coming. So, it's very hard to figure out with them. They're very inconsistent. I mean, one time, they could just play just not a great game like Seattle, and then they could come out Monday night and look great. And like I said, in the Giants, they looked really good in that game. Chicago, their offensive line, they've been struggling for years, and I think they're still struggling. Case in point, when Cutler went over to his tackle Webb and, pushed him, and they had a little words. And listen, Chicago, too, right now doesn't have Matt Forte, and he is, I believe he's their most important player on offense. I know Cutler has the good arm and everything, but everything runs through Matt Forte, and I'm not sure if he's going to be playing yet Monday night, but they really need him. Michael Bush is a good fill-in, but Matt Forte is just so dynamic. He catches passes out of the backfield. He, obviously he can run the ball really well. So that's another good game. I mean, Monday night, both those teams need those games. And it's going to be very interesting to see what happens. Last week Dallas only beat Tampa Bay by a little bit. So a win's a win, but, they definitely need to be more consistent. That NFC East is very competitive with the Giants, the Eagles, even the Redskins. The Redskins are going to pick some of them off during the year. So it's a very, very competitive division. And, it's going to be interesting to see what happens. If the Bears lose that game, there's going to be some turmoil. With Jay Cutler, he's very outspoken on the team, and they really need Matt Forte back. If they don't have Matt Forte, they could be in trouble. But I also think that the Bears' defense will keep them in the game because Dallas's offensive line is shaky, and the Bears have some pretty good corners, so they should be able to keep with them. But if Matt Forte doesn't play, I think I give the edge to Dallas Monday night.
One more quick question about that, too, because you mentioned about Jay Cutler mouthing off. He has been one of the more anti-media people as far as inside the football world. He's disgruntled around the media. He doesn't like talking to the media. Do you think in this situation with where he is with the team playing, obviously when your team's playing better, things are usually dealing with the media is a little bit easier. Do you think that players in general, I know Gary, both you and Jose are new to this. I've seen a little bit more. But do you think that the players should be a little bit more accessible and a little bit, I don't want to say more appreciative to the media, because the media can just as easily bury somebody as much as they can build them up. But do you think in this situation, when the team is playing like the Bears are, that Cutler shouldn't say anything negative or give the media any ammunition?
Well, I think there's kind of like two points. I think the players need to make themselves accessible to the media because that's part of, I think it's part of their job, part of the media. But here's the thing. When you're addressing the media, you keep all team issues inside the locker room. You don't air them out. And unfortunately, you have plenty of players that do that. If I was a head coach, I would have a strict policy, keep everything in the locker room, because the media only just gets stuff going and going and going. Take the Jets with this whole, you know, Tebow, things that are just going on there. They just drill it in the media. And, you know, I feel bad for a guy like Mark Sanchez, just trying to run the team, be the starting quarterback, and the media just blows everything out of control. But that's what these guys do. You know, in that instance, Tebow's not really saying anything. But, you know, with other people in general, they mouth off, they air things out, they do things. And, you know, I think they need to grow up a little bit and keep all these issues inside the locker room, you know, as much as they can. Because, you know, you do not want to talk about someone else on your team through the media, because it is just going to start a war of words, and the media just feeds into that. And, Randy, I know you know that for sure.
I don't know if you want to add anything to that, because I know you're new to the whole media industry with this show. Jose, do you want to add anything to this before we move on to the next segment with Gary?
Just real fast. Me personally, I've never been one of these people that thinks that media is really. I'm trying to look for the word. I don't think it matters. I think we give these beat writers and these media people too much credit for how players are. And me personally, I could care less if I hear from so-and-so on any given day. As long as they perform the day they're supposed to perform, that's what I'm concerned with. Cutler, if he's a jerk, I could care less. Those 300 yards, 2 touchdowns, then that's all I'm concerned about, as far as all that goes. You know, I think sometimes we overblow. I think we make the media too important. I think sometimes we make it seem like the media completely controls every player's destiny. And I think we kind of need to, like, get away from that.
Hey. Leave me alone. Okay, with that being said, Gary, fantasy sleepers. Fantasy sleepers for this week. What do you think?
Fantasy sleepers. I think one sleeper that is going to be really good is Andy Dalton this week. He's in Jacksonville. He's come off 2 pretty solid games. Jacksonville's pass defense isn't that great. You know, I'd start him over maybe even Tony Romo this week against the Bears. I think that, if you have Romo on your team and you have Andy Dalton, I would consider starting Andy Dalton over Tony Romo. He's struggled the past 2 weeks. Obviously, you're rolling the dice. Like I kind of said before, Dallas is inconsistent. You don't know what Romo you're going to get. But I think that Andy Dalton is really stepping it up this week and, could fill in. The other one, I'm going to go to the Giants, but you could be taking a risk this week because Dominic Hickson is back. You could go with Ramsey Barden. He could be a sleeper. Hakeem Nicks is out this week. Unfortunately, it's not the foot for Hakeem Nicks, it's his knee. It's swollen. So I think Ramsey Barden could be a very good pick this week. Another guy that you could potentially take a look at is Michael LaShore from Detroit. I don't know if he's really a sleeper anymore, but some people might still not have picked him up. I think that, he seems like he could be the real deal. He just ran for 100 yards last week, and he could have a pretty good game this week as well. So those are some of the guys to definitely take a look at this week. And I think I'm just trying to think of anyone else off the top of my head this week that could be a per se sleeper. There's obviously, obvious picks this week, but I think that may be it for now.
Gary, let me ask you a quick question though before I get to Randy real fast.
Yes.
You're saying Dalton over Romo, if you had that. What if you have Dalton and Stafford?
Dalton and Stafford. That's a tough one. Stafford's been a pretty inconsistent, but he's going against Minnesota, and you have Dalton at Jacksonville. That's a tough one. That really is. I probably still go with Stafford just because, obviously he's got Calvin Johnson. You can't go wrong with having him. And they are home today. If they were away in Minnesota, I probably would have said no. But I think I'd go with Stafford. I don't think you can go wrong with Stafford. And I feel more comfortable with Stafford home against Minnesota than, let's say, like I said before, Tony Romo home against Chicago. I think Chicago has a better pass defense. And Minnesota, well, they played well against the Niners. I'd like to see them do it 2 weeks in a row. So I definitely roll the dice with Stafford than Andy Dalton if you had him on your team.
All right, Gary, it's time to put you on the spot. You ready?
Ready.
Pick six, Giants, Eagles.
I'm going to go to the Giants. I think they're going to go down there and really play a great defensive game tonight. I know they're down a couple guys. No Holsley, the cornerback, unfortunately, he's not playing. Keith Rivers isn't playing. They do get Amukamara back starting. Corey Webster has a broken hand, but he's going to play. The Eagles are getting Macklin back, but I just like a confident Eli Manning going in there, being calm. I think the Giants will disrupt them enough to win that game.
Cowboys-Bears, Monday night.
Like I said before, I think it comes down to Matt Forte. I think he might not be playing this week. So I'm going to go with Dallas this week. I think they'll squeak it out.
Saints-Packers.
This game is just, like I said before, this is a game where both teams really need to win this game. Green Bay is due to explode on someone. I think they put up 30 points today, and I think they win that game.
Panthers-Falcons.
That is a tough one, too. The Panthers just, took one on the chin from the Giants. They did not look really that good at all. And the Giants didn't even have, Hakeem Nicks. They had Barden and Victor Cruz playing. Carolina also had a rookie covering Ramsey's Barden. So I don't know how they're going to cover Roddy White and Julio Jones on the outside, plus having to deal with Tony Gonzalez, the running game. I think Atlanta wins that game.
49ers-Jets.
49ers-Jets. This is going to be a tough one. I think the Jets couldn't have played the 49ers on the worst week after them losing to the Minnesota. It's too bad they didn't get them another week. I think the 49ers will win this game today.
Patriots-Bills.
This is a very interesting game. You got the Bills are 2-1. Patriots are 1-2. Patriot defense, I thought they were going to be better, and they've been struggling these past 2 weeks. I'm going to go with the Bills. The Bills are home. I think the Bills offense can get to that Patriot defense. And don't discount the Bills defense. Mario Williams, obviously they brought in the offseason. They have some other guys that they brought in that are making their defensive line stronger. And I think the Bills pull it out today.
All right, and it's funny too. Your picks are pretty much like right on, Jose. I don't know if you want to. Well, Jose, now. Gary, it's something very, very, very simple here that we are both all forgetting about the Giants Eagles game. Like you said before, Hakeem Nicks is out, but Ahmad Bradshaw is back, and Andre Brown, did such a great job in the backfield last week. Do you think at this point now Andre Brown is? It's almost like the replacement for Brandon Jacobs. We were all put on to be the guy who explodes and takes Jacobs. Now it looks like Andre Brown might be that guy.
Well, first of all, I think it's a great thing for the Giants that Andre Brown developed. If you've watched the Giants in the past years, they've had, like you said, Randy Jacobs, Bradshaw, Jacobs, Derek Ward, Bradshaw. I think in this day and age, you're going to have very few that are true number one running backs. I think it's nice to have complementary, not in fantasy football, of course.
No, not at all.
But I think it helps, especially with Bradshaw, because obviously he's had so many injuries. They're really bringing the rookie on solely, David Wilson. He had the fumble in the first game. I hope they try and get him a little more involved because he is a weapon. He's really, really quick with the speed. But, Ahmad Bradshaw, does get hurt. Andre Brown, I think, has also benefited from the offensive line playing better. But Andre Brown also, he looks to see where the hole is. So I do like that. He's a little bigger than Bradshaw, but he's pretty quick. I didn't really think he had that much speed. And especially tonight, I think it'll be good to have the two running backs. Now, I know a lot of people think Andre Brown should start. I'm actually not one of them. I think Ahmad Bradshaw deserves to start. He will start tonight, but you will also see, you know, Andre Brown in the mix, and I think they should play him. Keep Bradshaw fresher, keep him fresher throughout the year. Giants need to work on their running game. You know, in Tampa, in the second half of that game, the line started to play better, which opened up holes. You know, the key to the running game for the Giants is that line. They did not run block well, and they still won the Super Bowl, which is, you know, really mind-boggling. But that obviously shows you how strong Eli Manning has become and developed.
Do you think Eli? Well, let me start off, Gary. We're going to be doing a show in a couple of weeks. Top 10 quarterbacks in the NFL. We wanted to get another week or two in so we can start incorporating this season's stats. It's hard to do that conversation like right now because it's only 3 or 4 games in. So we're going to wait another 1 or 2 weeks. But we have Herman Edwards who's going to join us for that discussion. My question to you is, if we were doing a top 10 quarterbacks in the NFL, and Jose and I are going to work out the, you know, the criteria. One of the criteria is that we've all agreed on that the player has to be in the league for a minimum of 5 years.
Okay.
So you're knocking out a couple guys. Right. And it's based on their body of work, their fourth quarter stats. Mm-hmm. Where would you put a guy like Eli Manning, and where would you put a guy like Aaron Rodgers? Because remember, you're just on potential. You're grading this on what they've established and what they've done.
Right. I mean, I would obviously have to look at the stats and criteria. It's pretty tough. Aaron Rodgers is quite a story because he was sitting behind Favre for a couple of years. You know, Packers showed patience, and that really obviously paid off because he's quite a talent. This year he's struggling, but the whole team is, you know, the offense is struggling. So it's really tough to – sometimes you can pinpoint it on the quarterback, but I think this year it's just their whole offense. It's not in sync yet. But I do think they definitely come off the schneid today, and they put up a lot of points. You know, Eli's been doubted for so long, and, you know, all the doubters can now just admit that he is, you know, a really good quarterback. He's won 2 Super Bowls. He comes up clutch when he needs to. It's tough. I mean, it's really tough to I would have to really look at the stats and see. Aaron Rodgers obviously has the 1 Super Bowl. Eli has 2. You know, Eli is great in the fourth quarter. You can pretty much, you know, early on when Eli had to win a game, you were worried about him throwing an interception. And you're like, oh, gosh, he's throwing now and everything. I mean, I'll fully admit that. I was really nervous. Now it's like you almost want him to have the ball when you're down by a field goal 2 minutes left. You feel confident that because he's done it so many times in such big, big moments. So I'm kind of avoiding the question, as you can see, in answering it, because if you come up with your criteria and if I can get back on the line, then I should have a more definitive answer for you.
All right. I think that's fair. And, Gary, I want to thank you for calling in. We talked a lot of NFL today. I do have one question for you as a Mets fan. I know Jose is going to chime in and yell at me when I ask you this question, too. But I know.
Okay.
I got a Cy Young Award winner, R.A. Dickey. Is it possible?
Yeah, I mean, it's got to be possible. He's won 20 games. It would be great if he can win 21. But here's the difference, I think, between Gio Gonzalez, who I believe still has 21 wins. You have to just confirm that.
Yes.
And R.A. Dickey. R.A. Dickey is playing on a team that is probably been a triple-A team or double-A team and has not had as much support as Gio Gonzalez. The Nationals, they do have the best record, I believe, in the NL. So he has all the support in the world. R.A. Dickey, you know, I mean, David Wright, you know, he was hot. Now he's been, you know, kind of cold. Ike Davis was really not playing well, and now I can't believe he has 31 home runs. But that's the potential that kid has. Obviously, I think he had that the fever that they were calling it. I forgot the name of it off the top of my head.
Oh, the Valley Fever.
Yes, the Valley Fever. So I don't know if he was really sick. I'm sure he was. But I believe right now, if Dickey can win the next game, which I think would probably be huge, if he finishes with 21, and let's say Gio finishes with 22 or they finish ball 21, I think Dickey should get it. He doesn't have the support like Gio Gonzalez. I mean, that team is loaded now, and I can't believe I'm saying that. The Washington Nationals, that used to be a rollover team, is, you know, completely a top-notch team now. So, not because I'm a Met fan, I'm being a pure baseball fan right now. He does not have the support like Gio does, and I think he should win it. But if Gio wins 22 and Dickey stays at 20, they're probably going to give it to Gonzalez.
Okay. Gary, I can't argue that at all. Jose, did you want to add anything on to that? Because we're going to be wrapping up in about 10 minutes. We have to get our picks in, and we have to take care of a little bit more business here. But did you want to add anything to that, Mr.
Yeah, I just real fast with the R.A. Dickey, Gio Gonzalez thing. I think the biggest case for R.A. Dickey when it comes down to it is look how many games his team has won and look how many he's actually won. He's got a huge percentage of his team's wins. I mean, if there isn't a better case than that, I don't know what it could be. So, but I do agree with Gary, though, that if Gio does get 22, it's going to be that much harder.
I can't argue with that at all, and I will tell you, Mr. Casper, you have now one mission, and Jose and I will push this every time you come on the air with us, and off air every time we see you, we're gonna try and do this. We're gonna try and get you to do it, and we're gonna promote it as long as you do it. We either need to get you on Facebook or a Twitter account. It's gonna happen. It's gonna happen. I think it has to happen because you're too smart of your football views not to be a social media aspect of it. Agree, Jose? Agree or disagree?
Well, Gary, I would just say do it because otherwise he'll just make a fake account.
Yeah, I'm going to make a Twitter handle fake Gary Casper, and it'll be hysterical. And then the updates will be start off with every tweet. I'm not really Gary, but. And then that's the update. So I'm gonna work on that. Otherwise, Gary, thanks for jumping on with us. I gotta tell you, it was a great breakdown. It was a very good breakdown. I'm very I feel sort of smarter now. You know, I feel like I've been informed. I feel weird.
Well, you've done a lot then, Gary.
You know, not for nothing. And right now, a piece of me wants to hang up on Jose instead of Gary. I'm just saying. Anyways, Gary, thank you for joining us. We'll definitely talk to you in the near future.
All right, guys. Enjoy the football today. Be good.
Take care, Gary.
Bye-bye.
Any luck? It's just I've come to the conclusion that's just the way life is going to be. It's going to be like, here's the world's greatest things, and there's the punching bag. Let's keep punching him. Yes. Let's just keep punching him in the face. Yes. All right. Anyways.
Real fast, though, with the R.A. Dickey, though, just to just put a fine point on it, though, in all seriousness. I actually think he will win it. If there's anything that holds him back from winning it, it's the fact that he's a knuckleball pitcher. I think there will be people that will hold that against him. But when you look at the win total and how many games the Mets have actually won, you'd be very hard-pressed to find a pitcher who's more dominant this year than R.A. Dickey.
I'm having a hard time disagreeing with that. R.A. Dickey has certainly went above and beyond this year. I think, like, obviously, he's done everything he can. There's nothing else he could do, even if he tried. It's gonna be interesting to see where they go with this, with the NL race. I think we have some work to do, don't we? I think we do have some picks we have to.
Yeah, we have to.
Okay, let me take out the old pad. If we're gonna do it, we gotta do it right. Okay, first off, do we like the new name for this, the Pick Six?
I do. Actually, I do like it.
Thank you. So maybe the first credit for anything.
Hey, I'm always nice to you.
Except for, and then you start listing off the times. No, I know. I do like the pick six idea, and what we're gonna call that. And we still have our bonus pick. Do we have our new name for it? Or do we agree on the new name for this?
I think we agreed on that. Yes.
Okay. So we'll have our pick, the Back Sports Page pick six. We have our. Yes. Okay. You know it's time for the picks when the NFL music kicks in.
Oh yeah. I love it. We should get a game of football one day. As soon as when the shows are done, we'll meet up at Fairlawn and get a game going.
Do I get to broadcast it?
No, you get to play.
Oh, okay. Is it gonna be a nerf football or a regular football?
It'll be a regular football.
All right. As long as I'm not on the injured reserve list, I'll play.
All right.
So we have Giants Eagles. You can't just. You have to wait for the music to end, always.
Yeah.
So you have Giants, Eagles, Cowboys, Bears, Saints, Packers.
Saints, Packers, yeah.
I'm writing it all out. Panthers, Panthers, Falcons. Forty-Niners, Jets. I feel like every week with this new idea that we're going to be... six, then the Dutch House pick of the game, pick of the week, and then the Patriots Bills.
Yep.
So yeah, it feels like every week we're adding another game. So
I think you're right. I think you are right.
Yeah, I think we keep adding another week. It's crazy. So I guess we should ask this right now: are we going to add a seventh game so that could be our Dutch House pick of the week? Or
I guess so. Yeah, I guess we're going to have to add a seventh game.
All right, let's add a seventh game.
That'll be our bonus one. That'll be the bonus one that we secretly have not said yet.
Okay, so game seven. Really quickly, looking at the schedule, picks so far, Minnesota, Detroit, Seattle, and St. Louis, Tennessee, Houston, Oakland, Denver, Cincinnati, Jacksonville, and Tampa Bay. So, think about it for a minute.
Actually, I think I already got my bonus pick for the week.
Okay, I'm going to hold off for a minute to do mine. Let's do the regular game. We'll go backwards since we spoke a lot about the Giants and Eagles. Let's go Patriots-Bills first.
All right. You want to start that off? Or?
Well, please, I insist. You can go first.
Well, part of me wants so badly to pick the Bills. But I can't think of enough real legitimate reasons to pick the Bills. I can't see the Bills giving the Pats another loss this early in the season. So I'm going to take the safe pick here. I'm going to take the Pats, hoping that I don't get an egg on my face from Steve Johnson later on. So I'm going to take the Pats, and actually it will be a close game.
Okay, so you're going to take the Pats. After watching Ryan Fitzpatrick week one, I know Revis played that game. I for some reason, even though the Bills have bounced back a little bit, they still scare the crap out of me because you just don't know which team is going to show up. I thought that Buffalo, with Buffalo being 2-1, I think it's the shakiest 2-1 in football. I don't know how you feel about that.
Maybe Philadelphia?
I don't know, and maybe even the Jets too, because that offense the Jets have. But then again, Buffalo is also won its last two. But I don't feel they put up 87 points in their three games and given up 79, whereas the Patriots have scored 82 and they've only given up 64. That defense is much better for New England. We both can sit here with egg on our face if we both pick the Patriots. Buffalo, Fitzpatrick. Doesn't have Spiller this week.
Spiller and Jackson are both active. Just broke a couple of minutes ago.
They're both
active for this game.
But they're obviously both not 100% right now.
No, exactly. And that's what bothers me. If Spiller was remotely healthy, I would have taken the Bills on the shocker. But
okay, I think you and I might sit here both of us. We might have egg on our face, but we're both going to go with the Pats on this one.
Yeah.
Okay. Then the 49ers and Jets game, I don't want to spend a lot of time on this. I think if the Jets lose and the offense struggles as much as it has been, which I do expect them to since they're playing the 49ers defense, I think that we might be seeing Tim Tebow emerge as a starting quarterback if Sanchez struggles like he did last week.
Same here. I'm going to go with the 49ers as well in this game. I did see a lot of the luster from the 49ers fall off a little bit last week, though, but I think Jim Harbaugh will have his team ready to go. I think they're going to be annoyed, and they might put a real bad beating on the Jets today. But let's see. Let's see what happens. But I too, will pick the 49ers.
Panthers-Falcons. I'm going Atlanta on this. Atlanta's looked very strong. There's something about them, you know, obviously 3-0. I feel that they're playing like with the chip on their shoulder after the way they got ousted last year in the playoffs. I'm going Atlanta. I'm going Atlanta handedly against Carolina.
Same thing. Nothing more to add to that. But the Panthers took such a beating from the Giants last week that any kind of luster they had has been tarnished completely. I would say this is at least a 10-point victory. But as we both know, this is one of those games you think you know what's going on, and the next thing you know, there's a Panthers win by 20. But I don't see that this week. I think the Falcons will win.
Yeah, and not only that, but big point disparity here, biggest in the NFL. Atlanta has scored 94 points and only given up 48, plus 46 in the difference. So I think Atlanta's the safe bet in this one. Saints, Packers, man. If the real New Orleans Saints team please step up, you know, I'd really like to appreciate to see which one is which. I have to go with the Pack on this one. The Saints have to, you know, they're going to right the ship one of these weeks. I just don't think this is the week. I think the Packers are publicly saying it, but I think they're very, very angry on how last week ended. So I'm going to go Packers on this one.
You know what? I was basically, what this game came down to with me, who's the home team? Green Bay's the home team? That's what I'm picking. Both teams are killing me fantasy-wise, but I'm going to go with Green Bay because I think that this New Orleans ship has got a big hole in its starboard. So look at that, nautical references. Anyway, Green Bay, big
okay.
points today, though, on both sides.
What about Cowboys, Bears? I'm taking the Cowboys. I think what Gary said about Matt Forte is very true. I think Cowboys, as both teams are usually in pretty big distance, I think Chicago's in worse shape than Dallas. Dallas is looking to right the ship a little bit. Even though they won, they haven't won convincingly since week one. You almost want to call it their Super Bowl hangover because they consider that Giants game almost like their Super Bowl. I'm going to go with the Cowboys. I think it's going to be close. I'm hoping that I'm wrong, but I think it's a safety pick for them for that game. I'm going to go with the Cowboys.
I'm actually going to go with the Cowboys as well, but not for the reasons why you and Gary had. I just think the Cowboy line will be a little bit better than the Bear line. I think the line play will be the big indicator for this game. So if the Bears line plays better than it has, then they'll win the game. But if the Cowboys line plays well, they'll win the game. So I'm going to bet that the Cowboy line will do a little bit better than the Bear line, and I'm going with the Cowboys.
Okay, so we both have the Cowboys. So far we're right on each.
I think we have everyone same.
The Giants-Eagles game. I'll tell you what scares me about the Eagles. I know, you know, David came on and Gary came on. They both went over this with everybody. The thing that scares me about the Giants-Eagles game is the simple fact that the Eagles haven't had a solid game yet. And that can be due for at any point. And I feel like this is the point. You know, we're against the clock. I feel this might be the game where the Eagles come together. I'm going to pick the Giants because I think the Giants are more of a well-oiled machine. It took them a game and a half to really get... But it looks like now they're playing very well. I'm going to go with the Giants, but I think this is probably going to be the closest game of the weekend.
I'm going to say the same thing, too. I think right now the way that the Giants are playing right now, they're on all cylinders right now. I'm sure the Eagles have it all figured out just yet. So I'll take the Giants as well. And now I guess it's time for that bonus pick.
All right, and so our Dutch House pick of the week, you can find the Dutch House Tavern in Fairlawn, New Jersey. Check out their Facebook page at Facebook.com/Dutch House. Jose, your pick.
And a little bit of a shocker, I'm going to take Arizona over Miami in a game that Arizona will improve to 4-0 and start proving to the rest of the NFL that they are for real.
Okay, so you're picking Miami over Arizona.
Arizona,
Dutch House.
I'm picking Arizona. Taking Arizona.
Arizona over Miami, the Dutch House pick of the week for you. And I am choosing Cincinnati over Jacksonville as my Dutch House pick. pick of might come down to, if we get all these right, it's going to come down to our bonus games. So we may not have much movement in the standings for this week, but we'll see how it goes. We're down to our last 10 seconds. I'd like to thank everybody for calling in. Gary Casper, David Magano. Check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/RealSportsTalkRadio. Check out backsportspage.com. As for Jose Padilla, I'm Randy Zelia. We'll see you next week.
Take it deep.